All right, so let me reset you all very quickly for hour number three. We had our beef segment. Started off so well and then ended so badly. You'll have another shot at that next week at this time. This talk show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Here's what we're looking to get done this hour. My thoughts on Tua coming up momentarily. A conversation with PGA Tour pro Jason Kokrak. That's coming up in the last segment of this hour. Also, the ATP is coming up later on today. Episode 148. 148. I'm proud of that number. Go back, check the back catalog. 147 great conversations. Today, Will Blackman, former NFLer, the wine MVP, will be joining us. He played 12 years in the NFL. He's got a ring. He's an entrepreneur. That's coming up right after the program. And then that will push out really quickly. 1-800-636-8686. And you can still tweet at Jim Rome. All right, so take care of that. We are short-staffed today, but we're getting it done. Getting this thing done. I'm looking for you to pick it up. Pick me up and pick it up. Matt in Vancouver's in. Quote, Mark McCarthy.
Mark McCarthy.
Would still eat that dried dishwater food that loser's wife leaves on the plates. You're like, Matt. Matt generally makes it better. Paul Stewart tweets, War Mark McGuire and Sammy Susser.
It is a special pleasure for me to introduce our two home run kings, Mike McGuire and Sammy Susser. It's a pleasure to introduce them.
Mike McGuire and Sammy Susser.
Mark McCarthy.
Let's add Mark McCarthy to
Mark
that.
McCarthy.
Sammy Susser. Mike McGuire.
Mark McCarthy.
All right, so let's talk about a team that's getting it right, not wrong. Here's something that you have not heard very much of lately. In fact, not in years. Credit to the Miami Dolphins. I mean, truly. Give them some bleeping credit for real.
Give them some credit, I mean, for real.
The Miami Dolphins. Give them some credit for real. Because they just took a pretty big swing. They just pulled the trigger. And no, I'm not talking about that humiliating beatdown they laid on the Jets on Sunday. I'm not talking about them winning two straight, including a win over San Francisco in their house. I'm not even talking about them getting my attention and getting me to talk about them on the NFL Today on CBS. They did all those things. But then they went even bigger yesterday when they announced that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be their starting quarterback. That's a hell of a swing right there. That is a hell of a move right there. I mean, keep in mind, they've won two straight. They beat the 49ers in their house. They've won three of their last four. They're a game out of first place. They've got a great look right now if they change nothing at a playoff spot. Ryan Fitzpatrick has thrown six touchdowns in the last two games. He's balling out. His teammates love him. Hell, the entire world loves him. Things are breaking right for the Dolphins. This is the most fun this team has been in years. You got to ride that out, don't you? The last thing you want to do is jack with that. The last thing you want to do is fix something that ain't broke. Am I right? Am I right? Apparently not. They are going to jack with it. They're jacking with their legendary quarterback. And by jacking with him, I mean benching him. That's right. Fitzmagic is out. Tua is in. They're going from an experienced vet who's got a ton of mojo at this moment to a guy who has thrown all of two NFL passes. It's kind of wild, right? Like, the Dolphins for the first time in a long time matter. The Dolphins for the first time in a long time are fun. They're competitive. They're a playoff team. They are. And yet you're going to take this guy and all that magic, and he's playing lights out, and you're going to bench him for somebody who's unproven, who has thrown two passes. Like, that type of thing does not happen very often. It's one thing if the team is going nowhere at all, but this team is going somewhere. So why would you do this? Why would you mess with a good thing? Reason is, the answer is, they're messing with a good thing because good is not good enough. That's the statement that head coach Brian Flores is making, and the reason why the Dolphins are going with Tua right now?
You know, we feel like, you know, through practice and meetings and walkthroughs that he's ready, and that's how we're going to go moving forward. You know, look, Fitz has done a great job. He's been productive. His leadership's been great. It's not an easy decision, you know, for me or us as an organization, but we felt like, you know, for the team now, moving forward, this is the move we needed to make.
Man, I love that. I love that move. I love the explanation of that move. I love the way Flores carries himself. I love that. I want to stress again how big of a swing that is, how brass that move is, because the easy thing would have been to slowly ease Tua into it or just stick with Fitzpatrick until he has a bad game, and then you rip the job from him. After all, while it was a great moment when Tua did come in on Sunday, it's not like the fans were clamoring for him to replace Fitzpatrick. Nobody was. Nobody was saying anything. The only thing that was being said was, this is the reason why Tua can't get on the field, because Fitzpatrick is playing so well right now. So to me, that's what makes the move even more impressive. When you see the move, you have to think this was the plan all along. You have to think that probably was the plan from the very beginning. Draft the rookie, let him continue to heal up, let him learn the system, then get him ready to play coming out of the bye week. And to me, it's a good plan. After all, you don't take a guy with the fifth pick overall and let him hang out for a year. You need to see what you have, especially when you have the Texans' first-round pick next year. The thing that jacked up the plan was that the Dolphins dominated the last two games. The thing that jacked it up was Fitzpatrick continued to make plays, lots of plays. But they had a plan, and they want to work that plan. And they're sticking with the plan, and the plan was not for Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the starting quarterback for years to come. The plan is for Tua to be the starting quarterback for years to come. Listen, it's not always fair, right? Fitzpatrick did not deserve to be benched. I know he threw a couple of picks on Sunday, and he's had three games with multiple picks this year, but that's always the risk with this guy. That's his style of play. But this isn't about what he didn't do or what he might do in the future. It's not about Fitzpatrick at all, in fact. It's all about Tua. Fitzpatrick knew it himself. He called himself Tua's, quote, placeholder. He said that he would be his, quote, biggest cheerleader when it happened. I mean, that's classy as hell. This is why everybody loves this guy. He's an unbelievable personality. He pulls crazy plays out of his backside. He's a great teammate, and he's classy as hell. As Kurt Warner tweeted, quote, I know what my man Fitzmagic is feeling. In 04 with the Giants, we were a playoff team after nine games, and I wasn't playing as well as Fitz when they moved to Eli Manning. Sucked for me, but I knew it wasn't about that season, but the future, and I'd have to say it worked out pretty well for G-Men. End of tweet. Eli retweeted that with, quote, thanks for being such a class act and a great mentor for me. End of tweet. So that's exactly what Ryan Fitzpatrick has been in Miami. In fact, that's pretty much what Fitzpatrick has been everywhere he's been. Ryan Fitzpatrick might actually be the best person on the planet. He means so much to that locker room and to Tua. I mean, I literally could not respect Fitzpatrick more than I already do. And I can't respect Brian Flores and the rest of that decision makers any more than I do right now. Again, that's a really brass move. They could have kept it in the fairway with Fitzpatrick, maybe gone 8-8 or 9-7, gotten a look at the playoffs, maybe done some damage once they got there. And it would have been really good compared to what Miami has done lately. The fans would have been pumped. Flores would have looked pretty damn good. But again, what this move says is good is not good enough, especially since good or mediocre has been more than good enough for the Dolphins for a long time now. I would liken this move to the move that Flores made when he called that fake punt up 30-14 in the second half against the Niners. When he did that, he made the point, you can't just sit on your leads. And this move is that times 10, and I love it. I understand there's some concerns about the offensive line. I understand the heat that they'll take if Tua makes his first start against the Rams next week and he has a terrible game. They know that. They're aware of all of that. They know they're messing with a good thing. They know they're messing with a good thing, but they're doing so because they want to make it a much better thing. That's why I love that move. The Dolphins used to be one of the premier teams in the NFL and were for decades, but they haven't been that for decades. Now there's that possibility of that happening once again. They have a chance to have a legitimate superstar in Tua, and they have a chance to be relevant once again. They want to be great because good is not good enough, and that's awesome. I would say that I feel badly for Fitzpatrick, but I guarantee he does not feel badly for himself. He knew it was coming. He knows it's the right move. So let's see what this kid's got. I love it. It's a big swing. Everybody loves Ryan Fitzpatrick. The only person in this nation that has any beef whatsoever with Fitzmagic is Kathleen in Omaha.
Yeah, with Ryan Fitzpatrick for thinking that all the women out here want him. It's like, come on. I would rather catch the Rona than take him.
Kathleen, I don't think he's been offered to you.
For all the ladies out there, I'm taken. I'm sorry.
That was her response to that. That's Fitzmagic. When people are going on about the perfect beard, the fit, the wardrobe, he's like, hey, ladies, I'm sorry. For all you ladies out there, I'm already taken, man. I'm sorry. I really am. And Kathleen said, quote, I'd rather catch the Rona than get with Fitzmagic.
I would rather catch the Rona than take him.
I would rather catch the Rona than take him. Don't worry, Kathleen. I don't suspect that he's going to show up at your door anytime soon. You know why? He's already taken. He said so. 1-800-636-8686. Breaking news. SportsCenter tweets. Stan Van Gundy has agreed to a deal to become the next head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. Sources tell Woj and Andrew Lopez. Woj tweets, Pelicans were sold on SVG's abilities as a teacher with a young roster, his history of building top defensive teams, and his vision for the roster in place. His personnel decisions in Detroit were a non-factor in the search. He is coming to coach. I like that hire. I think that's a solid hire. All right, so that just in. Ritt had been on the SVG hunt for the pod. He had reached out to him, but he could not close.
So my Hart tickets are looking pretty puny right about now.
Hart? Did you have Hart tickets? Oh, hard. I thought you said Hart. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Phone lines are open. Hit us up. It's not too late. In fact, now is the perfect time to call because I've got an interview coming up in the last segment of the program. Jason Kokrak, PGA Tour Pro, joins me at 11:40 Pacific Time. When we come back, the Lakers were clowning Duncan Robinson. I love Hart. I do. I love Hart. Ritt, if you had tickets to Hart, I would buy them. I love Hart. I've never seen Hart. I love the Wilsons. Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair, your maintenance, or your restoration project? If so, O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get that job done right in the first place. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Their professional parts people will even test your battery free of charge when you visit an O'Reilly Auto Parts store. So if your battery does need to be replaced, they can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. I'm talking Superstar batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and they're designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstar battery for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your lawnmower, your boat, and even more. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We are close. We are convenient. We are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts pros, people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'm looking for an ATP really quickly. When it comes to meeting with the media, I think we all know Bill Belichick, the hoodie, is a man of very few words. Actually, to be more accurate, he's not so much a man of few words. He's a man of few grumbles and mumbles. Like elaborating or offering anything of substance is really not the hood's thing. Not with the media. He's bored. He's annoyed. He could care less about his interactions and never has anything insightful to share. I mean, he does. He just doesn't. There's not one instance I can think of where Hood was not short or terse with the media. In fact, there's a lifetime supply of examples of the mumbler not wanting to be in front of the podium or on a conference call at all.
What difference does it make? Give me an F. Give me a C plus. I mean, I don't really. It doesn't matter. Give me whatever you want. I don't care.
We're gonna take it day to day, just like we always do.
I don't agree with that. So you know, just you go ahead on your soliloquy. But I just don't agree with that.
It's already been addressed.
Told you everything I know.
Who cares?
If you have any other questions, really, you should take it up with our public relations department, which is very capably run by Stacy and his staff.
Oh, Catholic.
We're just trying to win the game. That's all. Yeah, I was at the game.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Seattle.
Told you everything I know.
We're trying to do everything we can to help you out. Sorry you're offended by that.
I mean, outside of acknowledging the amazing job that Stacy and the staff are doing, the PR staff, this is what you get from the hood. Nothing. Ever. Well, apparently, we've all been asking the wrong questions of the old mumbler for the past three decades. And all along, there was a secret name in which to unlock that treasure trove of football knowledge and insight. It's all our fault. It's not his fault. I've had this thing backwards and twisted the entire time. We've been asking the wrong questions, dropping the wrong names. All we had to do was drop the name George Kittle. You see, the Pats host Kittle and the Niners on Sunday, and the hood is a fan, a really big fan. On a conference call with the media on Monday, Hood was asked about the San Francisco tight end. Check this dude out. He did not hold back. Check these comments, transcribed by ESPN. Quote, Kittle is a great player. He does everything well. I'd put him right at the top of the league there, period. His ability to run, catch, get open, after the catch, block. He does everything at a high level. He's as good as anybody that I've coached or as good as anybody that we've played against. End of quote. All of a sudden, my man is extremely lucid, extremely coherent. He's enunciating everything perfectly. Have you ever heard that guy go on about anybody like he just did Kittle? He just said he's as good as anybody he has ever coached or went up against.
Yo soy fiesta.
Right. He just said that tight end is as good as any tight end he's ever coached. You can imagine the shockwaves that statement must have sent through the upper Northeast over forgetting the guy that he coached for several years who had helped him stack several Super Bowl trophies. Yeah, but don't worry. Maybe it just slipped his mind. Maybe he somehow just forgot, right? Don't worry, because he was going to make that right. Tuesday, then, at his regular presser, at the Pats facility, my man was still going on. He was still filibustering about Kittle and his historical greatness. Not just his greatness, but his historical greatness. And he finally gave the proper respect to my guy, Mark Bavaro.
Again, based on what he's done in his career to this point, I think he's as good as anybody I've seen. Maybe not as good as Mackey, but I mean, you know, you could put him up there with just about anybody you want to put him up there with in terms of blocking, receiving, everything else. Bavaro was a great, great blocker and a top receiver, but I would say Kittle's ability in the passing game is pretty, pretty special. So, he's a great player.
Now my guy's like Winston Churchill. Now he's just rolling. A great orator. And now he's got Mark Bavaro. He's got John Mackey. What, Mike Ditka didn't want any of that. Notice he's mentioning all the great tight ends, except for the one great tight end that he had. Listen, I don't know if Kittle, I love Kittle. Let's not get this twisted. Of course. I don't know if he's on Bavaro or Mackey's level at this stage of his career, but it's a really good conversation and a fair conversation. But he is forgetting one guy, isn't he?
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
He did forget somebody else in that discussion, right? We're having a great conversation about great tight ends, historic tight ends. I mean, I don't know if it's me, but you could certainly construe that as the hood being a little butthurt over somebody choosing TB43 over him.
All right, Tom, let's see what type of bills I got to pay today, baby.
Let's see what you got.
Probably no bills because I'm the man.
Ooh, a little toasty out here today.
Cool off. You're going to have to cool off after this heated debate because it's the friendship test.
One of my favorites. Woo-hoo!
Man, that's awkward. That is so cringy. Awkward. Like the kids like to say, that was cringy and awkward. I mean, dang, Mumbler. You coach the generation's best tight end. A surefire first ballot Hall of Famer in Gronk. And you can't put him in your Kittle comparisons. A guy who drew your offense's most attention from opposing defenses year after year after year. A guy that balled the hell out en route to winning 3 Super Bowls. A guy who sacrificed and broke his body for you. And not even a mention? You can't even reference Gronk. Listen, George Kittle is amazing. He's great. I'm glad that the hood actually opened up and elaborated on something. But come on, Pops. Where is the Gronk love? Like, I can't wait until next week when he has Cam Newton in the greatest quarterback ever conversation. And I like Cam a lot. But wait till he does a 10-minute dissertation on it, reads it to the media, and then fails to mention Tommy even once. I guess now we're starting to get some insight as to why Brady and Gronk no longer want to be around this guy. It's because they earned so much more respect than this dude was willing to ever give them. I mean, that would get old. That would get tired. Who wants to be around that? I mean, there's a reason why Gronk came back and went right to Tampa to play with his guy again instead of that old guy. And it's because, I don't know, some random skank on a boat afforded him more respect than the greatest coach ever did, and he helped that coach win 3 Lombardis.
I'm trying to get laid.
You're trying to get laid?
Yeah.
So why are you on the Gronk cruise?
To sleep with Gronk.
But you understand that's tough. That's going to be tough.
It might be tough because there's like way hotter chicks than me, but I'm hoping I'm a little bit more freaky than them.
I mean, Hood, I really do love that you're finally opening up with the media because I've always known you have so much more to share than you're willing to share. So I love that you're opening up. I'll take that any day. I love the George Kittle praise. But my man, people who give you everything they have, literally their bodies, they've put them on the line, they've executed, they've made plays. I don't know, man, maybe you show them some love. I promise you, if you do that, it will not kill you. I mean, a former Pats tight end might, but Gronk wouldn't if you showed him the respect that he rightfully earned and deserves. Keep it up, Hood. Keep it up, or Tommy and Gronk will not be the last ones wanting to get the hell away from you. mumble. Yeah, radio man. Yeah, you can shut up about that already. I already told you about George Kittle. Not to be confused or related with the great Ron Kittle back in the day. Have you seen this guy? Do you even know anything about football? Have you ever put on a pair of pads there, radio boy? This guy's amazing. Amazing. Except that's not what he's saying. He's just saying things like, George Kittle, there's nothing about this guy that there's not to like. He can block. He can catch. He can run routes. He's the ultimate team guy. Like, all of a sudden, this guy's Winston Churchill. But not nary a reference of Gronk. No wonder those guys got sick of that and bounced. No wonder Tom left. No wonder Gronk came out of retirement and joined Tommy. When we return. I mean, finally, this guy's talking. Finally, he addresses the media. But to talk about the guy he's going up against.
Finally.
And to profess his love for him, finally. Finally. When we come back, Jason Kokrak, PGA Tour Pro, gets an all-important win. He'll break that down for us. That's coming up next. I'm going to try and mix in an ATP if I can, too, before the end of the program. Time now for a sports update. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. One last segment, and we've got some things to get done still yet. The ATP, the huge call, and this conversation. We are joined by a PGA Tour golfer, 10th season on the PGA Tour, currently number 26 in the world golf rankings. He won the CJ Cup on Sunday. It was his first career PGA Tour win. Jason Kokrak is my guest. Jason, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey. Thanks for having me on, man. I'm doing fantastic, as you could imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine. In fact, I'm eager to talk to you about it. Before we get to the final round Sunday, can you take me back to before that round? Like, what kind of thoughts were you having and what kind of emotions were running through you when you arrived at the course on Sunday, knowing you had a chance to get your first career PGA Tour win?
Well, I mean, there was a couple guys all tied with me, and then Russell Henley was three shots ahead. Russell's a proven winner on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I knew I had to throw something low up there to have a chance. And, you know, went out there with Xander Schauffele and Jason Day. Jay Day, unfortunately, had to pull out. But, it was a pretty much a match play on the back nine. Xander played some amazing golf. And, you know, I knew I just wanted to stay within myself. I'd been in that position quite a few times before and just never really got it done. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that everybody tells you, just let it happen, let it happen, let it happen. I'm like, well, that's just, I want to go out there and take it. So I tried to do that and, you know, take my chances where they were, but I was definitely nervous. I tell everybody that if you're not nervous, you're not alive. I mean, a lot of the guys that are going out there on tour, it's tough nonetheless. And it took me a decade to push through and win on the PGA Tour. So I'm ecstatic.
I think that's a great response. Jason Kokrak is joining us. I really like that. Like, you had a really nice career going. You had wins on what is now the Korn Ferry Tour. You had multiple second and third place finishes. In the PGA Tour, your career earnings were really nice. What I'm getting at is, it's the kind of career that millions of golfers would love to have, but was there a part of you that felt like it's incomplete until I get that first PGA Tour win?
Without a doubt. I mean, any time you spend multiple years on the same tour and not win, you kind of have those doubts. But I mean, the golfer's mind is very fickle. As soon as you get a little bit of confidence going, you know, it's an amazing thing what the mind can do. But I told this to a couple other people, that if you told me when I broke out on tour that I'd have a 10-year career on the PGA Tour, but you're gonna not have a win, I said, sign me up. I mean, that's a 10-year career on the PGA Tour is hard to come by. It's tough to do. So I was more than happy. I definitely wanted to notch that first victory, but, it was a long time coming and, I put the work in. My caddy and I definitely put the work in. He's an amazing guy and really helped me push through.
Jason Kokrak is joining us. Now, you mentioned that you started that round three strokes back of Russell Henley, and then you go out and you hit 12 of 14 fairways, 17 greens in regulation. So at what point in that round did you start to think, man, I've got something special going on here?
You know what, I think I rolled in that putt on number 8 go to 5 under par. I mean, 8 was a tough read, tough pin. I mean, after that, I was like, man, we've got something going here. I knew I was going to be right around the lead. Xander was playing some great golf, too, so he was only a shot or two behind me. And then, a couple holes later, he rolls in that 50-60 footer from off the green. And I said, okay, well, this top 10 player in the world is not going to give me anything today, so I'm going to have to step up and, do something on the last couple holes. And you know what? Things went in my direction. That up and down on 16 was very clutch. You know, somewhat of a tough shot on 17, but the drive on 18 is what I think sealed the deal. I mean, I only had a pitching wedge in after that.
Jason, what about the putting aspect? Like, that's not necessarily been your strongest suit, but then you switch up your putter at the BMW Championship. In this event, you led the field in strokes gained in putting. How much pride then is there for that number and the way you were able to hit one big putt after another when it mattered most?
You know what? I've been working on my putting for, you know, ever since the beginning of my career. So it's always kind of hit or miss. I'm kind of a streaky putter, but, you know, my caddy gave me a tip. He said, you know, it looks like you're a little hunched over and the putter grip is sort of just in the middle of your palm. It's, both hands are not fully on the grip. So he's like, let's try a 36 inch putter and go, you know, we went to Bettinardi and which I was putting with before, and we got something made up, and I started feeling comfortable with it, threw it in at Wyndham, and then had a nice little run there in the playoffs to get, you know, creeping up on the Tour Championship. Didn't quite make it in there, but it's been amazing so far. I mean, David's a great green reader, and if I can hit the points that he's shooting at, then the ball's going to go in the hole. So I think that was a big key thing for me, to stand up a little bit taller, get a little bit more comfortable over the ball, and just pick the lines and pick the right speed. I mean, the greens over Shadow Creek were so pure. That was some of the best greens you'll ever put on.
We're talking to Jason Kokrak. He's talking about his big win, first win on the PGA Tour. Jason, you mentioned Xander a couple of times. I mean, the fact is, also, you said Jason Day was supposed to be with you, but he had to pull out. So you were a twosome playing with a lot of threesomes. Xander said afterwards, quote, we got along really well, and we definitely fed off each other, and it definitely showed in our scores, end quote. I mean, it seems to me it can be really difficult to concentrate for hours on end during a pressure pack round. So what did you guys talk about, and how helpful was it to have those conversations throughout that round?
Well, I mean, I tell everybody, I mean, you're out there for 5.5-6 hours with, you know, 2, 3, 4 guys, you know, caddies, and, you know, just kind of have a little chit chat about, you know, anything. I mean, I've got 2 young boys. I mean, he's moving to Las Vegas. So we just kind of talked about, you know, life in general. I mean, if you can't spend, you know, 20-30 minutes chit chatting with a guy that you're playing with for 5 or 6 hours, it gets pretty boring. Especially playing in twosome behind a bunch of threesomes. We definitely walked slow and, you know, got to talk quite a bit. And it was just, you know, he's an incredibly nice kid. He's one of the best golfers in the world. Him and his caddy are two of the best out there. And, you know, really enjoyed the day. I think once we got to the back nine and knew that, you know, we were leading the tournament after he made that putt on 14, you know, I think we knew that we were ahead of everybody, but we had some birdies holes left, so we knew we couldn't just, you know, par in and, you know, take this thing. So we definitely had some fun, but when it came down to crunch time, I think we slowed down the chit-chat and concentrated.
Jason, you're tight with somebody I go way back with. You're tight with somebody I've known for decades who's a very good friend of the program, Steve Elkington. You're part of the Secret Golf stable. How would you explain Elk to somebody who's never met Elk, and what's he meant to you personally and professionally?
I mean, Elk is he's been one of the best ever to play. I mean, he's got the PGA Championship. He's got Players Championship. I mean, won I don't even know how many times, but a lot of golf knowledge. Kind of one of the he's a great individual, great guy. I mean, him and his son's always come out to Houston to watch me, and, you know, we've created a nice relationship over the years. And, you know, my buddy Pat Perez introduced me to him, and, you know, we've been boys for a long time, and I think he's been on your show a couple times now. So you know, I'm pleased to be a part of the crew.
It's great to have you as part of this crew. Elk has been on the show dozens of times. He is still probably the show's favorite interview. Pat Perez, I'm glad you mentioned Pat. Pat, he's one of one, right? He's a different kind of unicorn onto himself. What about Pat? What's he like to play with?
Oh, Pat's awesome. I mean, he's a character. I mean, you can see it, well, the way he walks, the way he talks. But the one thing I love about Pat, you know what you're going to get when you step out onto the first tee. I mean, if anybody watched that charity thing at the Wyndham when him and I took on Charles Schwartzel and Brandon Grace, I mean, it's just one of those things. You know he's going to talk a lot, and he's a great guy. I mean, he's helped me along in my career too, and he couldn't have been more ecstatic for me. He flew into Las Vegas, so we hung out in Vegas one night on Monday night. We had a few glasses of wine together.
He's a dude, man. He is an absolute dude. All right, so you're going to, before you go, you're going to play at the Masters in a couple of weeks. The backstory here is pretty fascinating because you had been working to qualify for the Masters for 9 years. You earned your spot to play in this year's Masters, but then they postponed the event until November. What was it like to finally grind it out, earn that spot, and then find out it's postponed?
You know what? It's kind of one of those things. It's a little bit of a letdown because, you know, I've got two young kids, my wife, I mean, all my friends and family that have all pushed me and all have been behind me for all these years, to get them all out. I rented two homes in, at Augusta. I was just, I was over the moon to have my friends and family down there to watch me and to, you know, sort of a culmination to finally make it into one of the biggest events, on our tour. And, you know, then they go and postpone it. And now there's no fans, there's no patrons, there's nothing going on. So I was like, well, this is sort of a letdown, but you know what? I'm still going to enjoy it. And I told myself, I was like, why can't you do it again? I mean, make the tour championship, win, you know, become a top 50 player in the world. And, you know, all these things get you into the Masters. So it'll be pretty fun to get my first Masters under my belt. And then when my family and friends are around, it'll be nice to get into the 2021 Masters as well.
So the thing is, you've never actually played that course, have you?
No, I refuse to. I've been invited for many, many years. I mean, I know a bunch of members, and they've always said, anytime you want to go, just give me a call. I'll meet you there on a moment's notice. But I said, you know what? I want to earn my own way in. Once that happens, I'm going to call you all the time. But, you know, then we had this pandemic happen, and I was planning on going down a couple different times, and then they shut the course down. And I was like, well, there's my practice rounds down the drain, but I'm going to head down a couple days early. I think the closest we can come onto the golf course is Saturday before the tournament. So I'm going to make my way down there and play golf with a few friends down maybe in Charlotte, and then head down to Augusta and definitely do my prep and get ready to play this golf course in some different kind of weather. So I'm hoping it's going to be warm and the ball is going to be flying, but if not, it's going to play more into my hands. So I'm looking forward to it either way. I can't wait to get to those hallowed grounds.
I was going to say, so finally then, I know it's different, and you mentioned it. You're one of the fans there, and we've got the pandemic still yet, but what do you think it's going to feel like to drive down Magnolia Lane and play Augusta National for the very first time?
I mean, it'll be surreal. I mean, it'll be kind of like a culmination of all the hard work and all the time I've put in over the years, not just on the PGA Tour, on the Corn Ferry Tour, growing up, college golf, you name it. I've been working towards this goal for pretty much my entire life. And, you know, I'm getting goosebumps actually just talking about it now. It's just kind of one of those things that every little kid, you know, is on the green that you got a 5-foot putt to win the Masters. And it's just like, you know what, I get to play my first one, and I can't wait to take on this golf course. From what I've heard, it's a right to left golf course, a drawer's golf course. And that's my ball flight, so I definitely think I got some kind of an advantage there, but I definitely need some prep. And my caddy's caddied there in the tournament before, so he's been there, so he can definitely help coach me around that place.
Can't wait to see it. He won the CJ Cup on Sunday for his first career PGA Tour win. He is up to number 26 in the world golf rankings, 10th season on the PGA Tour. Jason Kokrak, my guest. Jason, great job. Great to have you on this program. You're now officially in the Jungle Stable. We'll do it again soon, and congrats on that big win.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and always a big fan of the show.
Appreciate you, Jason. Great job. Really nice to hear that, and I appreciate the kind thoughts. All right, then. Got ourselves another one. What a great story. What a good dude, and a tremendous win for him. 1-800-636-8686. I've got the ATP still yet that I want to get to. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jim, I listened to the podcast with Buzz Williams last week. I was blown away by his reading list. I know you're a big reader also. Anything you're thumbing through right now that I should check out? Thanks, Aaron in Beacon Hill. Actually, Aaron, I put this up on my Instagram feed. My favorite book right now, and I've probably have read this book 10 or 12 times, and I just keep rereading it. Jocko Willink's Discipline Equals Freedom. That is one of my favorite books ever. I read it all the time. And I'm especially reading it now because he released a expanded edition, the Field Manual MK1 Mod 1. And anyway, I'm a huge, huge Jocko fan. That is literally one of my favorite books ever. It's a legendary book. Discipline equals freedom. So that's what I'm currently reading. You know, it's not actually a hard book to read. You could read that book in, I don't want to say a single sitting, but maybe in a single sitting. Like when you look at books right now, publishers are making them shorter and shorter and shorter because people have attention spans, which are shorter and shorter and shorter. I'm not saying that's necessarily what that is, but I'm saying that it's a fascinating book that you can get through pretty quickly. JJ Sportmo tweets, who has the better grumble? Coach Hood or the guy that has the soundbite totally trashed? Don't you know who that is? The guy? You mean LT, Lawrence Taylor? You mean that guy? Put some respect on LT. What do you mean that guy who has the totally trashed?
Totally trashed.
Put some respect on that. Who's got the better grumble? Definitely Belichick. Best grumble ever. All right, so let me remind you also, it's a Wednesday, so we're not done yet. We're not done yet. I've got a podcast coming up, and I actually need to tape that podcast, which I'm going to do in about 5 minutes. Episode 148 of the Jim Rome Podcast with the wine MVP, Will Blackman. Grainger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. Good to have Jason Kokrak in the Jungle Stable now. We got that first PGA Tour win. Amari Rodgers, Clemson wide receiver, coming up big. DeMar DeRozan, I thought was awesome. You know what? That's another amazing interview day. My thanks to the XR4TI. We were short-staffed today. Only two behind that side of the glass. Alvy and Ritt. Tomorrow, Ritt, it's going to be you and me, I bet. That'll be it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Look for that podcast a little bit later on. See ya.